And Gunnish Sheesh for listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Next year, Alaskans will have a brand new experience at the polls, a chance to try ranked choice voting, where you not only select your favorite candidate, but designate second, third, and fourth choices. Well, a lot of voters are understandably nervous about this. They wonder, how is it going to work? How might it change Alaska politics? Well, here to answer some of these questions, Benjamin Riley, a professor from the University of Western Australia, who is this Friday speaker in the Egan Lecture Series hosted by the University of Alaska Southeast. He's also going to be doing some research here in Juneau. He is en route, and in fact, he is in Hawaii. Oh, you are so lucky. I'm sure it's not raining there.
It's beautiful here, Rhonda. Just beautiful.
So we are so curious. I think everybody wants to know, why is an Australian professor so interested in what's happening here in our state?
Well, it's a good question. I'm a political scientist, so I'm interested in politics. But the real reason is that Australia has used ranked choice voting for 100 years, actually over 100 years. And it's one of the things that's shaped our politics. And it's something that I've written about. I was actually last in Alaska back in the summer of 2002, which was the last time there was a ballot initiative to bring in ranked choice voting then. It was supported by, I think, the Republicans and Libertarians. It failed. I had a great time in Anchorage, and now it's succeeded. And so I'm coming back to do some research, like you say, talk to some of your local politicians, and also give a talk about how ranked choice voting works, because it's something that we're very familiar with in Australia.
Well, we'll talk about the Australian experience in a moment, but I think we're sort of curious about how it's going to work for us this time around. And it's been a while in coming, and ranked choice voting seems to be gaining traction, not just in Alaska, but elsewhere, but it finally came here. Why do you think that is?
Yes, it's becoming more popular. It's being picked up in quite a few places around the world and quite a few places in the United States. Maine's been using the system for a few years. It's been used in a lot of local elections in the West Coast, Minneapolis. Why is it becoming more popular? Well, I think there's a basic problem with the existing electoral system. We call it a plurality system, or first past the post it's sometimes called, which is that unless there's only two candidates, as soon as there's more than two, but three candidates, you can get very odd results coming out of that system. For example, if there are three candidates and they're each get about a third of the vote, then if you get 34% of the vote, you're the winner, even though 66% of people wanted someone else. So I think there's a sense in which a system that guarantees that the winner has an absolute majority, that is over 50%, is a fairer system. So that's one reason. And that's particularly the case if you want to vote for a third party, not one of the big two, under the existing system, the old system, you're going to waste your vote, right? You're going to waste your vote, because you've got to really think about which of the big two parties is going to win. And often people then will say, okay, I won't vote for this third party, even though that's my real choice. I'll have to vote for, you know, one of the Republicans or the Democrats. Whereas under ranked choice voting, you don't have to make that decision. You can vote for your favored party number one, and then give a second or a third ranking to which of the big parties you prefer. So a lot of voters prefer the system because it allows them to be quite sincere in how they show their preferences. And I guess that's the last reason that it's a system that's gaining ground. You know, it asks voters to give more information than just who their first choice is. It says, if you can't have your first choice, what would your second choice be? What would your third choice be? And that's seen as, you know, generally a good thing, to get more rather than less information from voters.
A lot of times I think Alaskans wish that maybe their second choice candidate has run as an independent, so they can kind of stay with the process, because in Alaska, ever since they went to a closed primary system, the voting is very defined. It tends to skew to one particular type of voter in the Republican Party, the more conservative voter. So I guess in states with small populations like Alaska, a lot of freaky things can happen with the voting. Sometimes you can have people win by one or two votes. I mean, it happens a lot. In fact, there have been ties and they've had to flip a coin to see who wins. In Australia, do they have strange circumstances like that where the votes can be very close?
Yeah, we have those as well. But the difference, again, is that because we use ranked choice voting, whoever ends up being the winner can say, I have an absolute majority of support from the electorate, from the voters. And, you know, politicians have said this to me all the time. It's like, hey, I have more than half the people chose me. So I really am representative. Whereas if you're getting elected on 25% or 30% of the vote, that's much harder to make that claim. And I think Alaska, because there are such high levels of non-aligned voters, you know, most registered voters are not members of the the two big parties, Republican or Democrat. That makes it, you know, unusually suitable, I think, for ranked choice voting. So, you know, my sense is, who knows how it's going to work? We'll find out. But my sense is, because Alaska has so many people who do want to vote for someone other than the big two parties, it probably is going to be quite a good system for voters.
So can you sort of recap for people? Go to the voting poll. I am the voter. Tell me what is going to face me as in the ranked choice voting system. What am I going to be dealing with? What am I going to see on the ballot?
Right. Well, I mean, two things to keep in mind. First is that the primary system is changing too, and you're going to have an open primary, what's called a top four primary, first before you get to go to the ranked choice general election. So the first time you go to vote, if you vote in the primaries next year, you won't get to use ranked choice, but you will be voting, able to vote for all parties. It won't just be, you know, you vote as a registered Republican or a registered Democrat or whatever. Then you get to the general election, that's when you use ranked choice voting. What will it look like? It will be a ballot paper that has some columns on it and next to the names of all the candidates, and one column will say first choice, and you fill in the little circle for whoever your first choice is. And then if you have a second choice, you get fill in the column in the little circle for your second choice candidate, and you can go third, fourth. I think there's even going to be a fifth choice for a write-in candidate. So it will be a more complex looking ballot paper, but the basic idea is not complex. It's essentially what we do every day when we go to the supermarket or whatever. If we, you know, if they don't have my favorite brand of salad dressing, that's okay. My second choice will be this brand. And if they're out of both of them, I can have this third choice. I can live with that. That's basically the same system for the election.
You know, it is sometimes hard to get voters to follow instructions. I mean, we see people not able to fill out the circles completely. And I wonder about having to designate a couple of choices if that's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I think the elections office has worked pretty hard on this. I was chatting to them about this the other day. So they're starting to put out some, you know, advertising campaigns and educational material. You know, you don't have to rank anyone. You can vote just exactly the same way as you've always voted. You can just vote for a first choice and leave it at that. And that's totally fine. That won't have any impact on your ballot paper being counted or anything like that. It's really just for those voters who do want to express a second choice or a third choice that it allows them to do it. But the beauty of the system, as it were, is that that information can then be used if no one has an absolute majority to work out who is the sort of consensus choice amongst all the people. And sometimes that's going to be a different person to the person who would have won under the old system, under the plurality system. Often it will be the same, but sometimes it's going to be different.
So in Australia, where this has happened for more than 100 years, how did it change the political system? Did it have some impacts?
Oh, yeah, it's had big impacts. It's had two big things, I think. Firstly, it had quite a strong partisan impact. In other words, it's favoured different parties, but it's favoured different ones over time. So when it was first introduced, it very much favoured the conservative parties, the right-wing parties, and that was the case for about 50 years. They really liked ranked choice voting. And then about 1980s, 1990s, you start to get green parties and other parties that would, you know, you'd think of more as more left-wing parties coming around. So now it tends to help more the left side of politics because there's more parties competing there. And it gets away from this vote splitting problem. So that's one way that it's changed Australian politics. But I think the really important way it's changed our politics, and that, you know, this may have some relevance for Alaska, is that it's made politics much more centrist. And in some ways, it's made politics rather boring because you cannot get elected as an extremist. You just can't. You have to be somewhere in the sort of middle of the road because the electoral system is trying to find that consensus candidate. So to the extent that, you know, you want to have a more kind of middle of the road politics, this is a good system. If you want excitement, not so much because, you know, it's hard for a really out there candidate to get elected in Australia.
Well, my sense of it is that Alaskans will go for excitement over middle of the road anytime they can. I don't know why that is, but when thinking back on some of our elections, and perhaps maybe one case in point might be when Lisa Murkowski was upset in the Republican primary by Joe Miller, and he was very much a conservative candidate, and people said, oh, my goodness, she probably would have won in the general, and then she ran as a write-in candidate and had a historic victory. So I guess it proves that perhaps voters are more to the middle of the road than we may think, even in Alaska. Do you think that Lisa Murkowski, who is running again with ranked choice voting, would avoid having to run a write-in if she lost in the primary?
Yeah, I think it will help candidates like Murkowski for two reasons. One, because there is now going to be this top four primary, you know, there might be two Republicans come through the primary and get on the ballot for the general election. So it's not just going to be, you know, one Republican. There might be multiple Republicans, and she will probably be one of those multiple Republicans, right? And then the second way it's probably going to help Murkowski, and I've actually seen some polling that suggests this, is that she is, because she is a moderate Republican, will probably pick up some second preferences from the other side of the political aisle, from voters who might want to support a Democrat or someone else, but don't mind Murkowski. So they'll give her a number two vote or a number three vote, and those votes can flow back and be very helpful. So I think it will help Murkowski. I think it will probably help in the governor's race a candidate like former Governor Walker, who I believe is going to be running again, for the same reason, that they'll probably get enough number two votes from the supporters of other candidates to help them be viable in that race.
It's interesting, though, that Senator Lisa Murkowski's opponent, Kelly Schiavacca, has been endorsed by Republican leaders as their choice. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes down in the primary. But basically, as I'm understanding you, there is always going to be a second or possibly third choice voter emerging out of a party's primary.
Yeah, so no, the system now, and this is separate to ranked choice voting, Rhonda, completely separate, but the the change that went through last year, there are no party primaries anymore. It's what's called an open primary. So all parties compete at the same time, and then the top four vote getters, whoever they may be, go through to the general election. And the thinking there is precisely, I think, to stop or get around this problem where, say, a Murkowski, who would probably win in a general election, can't get through a Republican primary. Because now, in an open primary, they've got a much better chance. So I think that was the thinking, that probably the Murkowski situation was probably one of the things in the minds of the people who brought this in. But, of course, it will help any candidate who has a broad base of support and is, doesn't appall people more, lots of people, isn't necessarily everyone's first choice, but everyone can live with. That's the sort of candidate who tends to get advantaged by this new system.
Well, I remember when Republicans a couple decades ago fought to close the primary, because what would happen is sometimes Democrats would cross over and vote for Republican candidates to improve. They would vote sometimes for the Republican candidate that they thought had the best chance of losing, so that they would face off against a Democrat that was more stronger. So the Republicans really questioned the motives of Democrats who crossed over. I don't know if that's actually true or if that's actually what happened, but they felt that the primary was necessary to preserve the party's choice, its platform. And what you're telling me is it sounds like parties are dead in the primary. They're a non-entity.
Well, they're an entity, but they won't be able to dictate things. They're not closed anymore, and really, there is no single party primary anymore. That's gone. You don't just have a primary where Republicans just get to choose their candidate. You get a primary where everyone gets to vote, and the top four candidates go through to the general election. So that's going to be quite a change. And yes, you're right. I have heard these stories about primaries too, where open primaries where they try and get, a weaker candidate from the other side up. But again, that's going to be history, I think, now, because now they've got to focus on getting one or two, maybe even three in some areas, of their party, candidates from their party going through to the general election. So, yeah, it's going to be a big change.
Well, I don't think it's going to end the entertainment we have in Alaska every election season, because they always say that politics is Alaska's favorite sport. And I truly do believe that. But in Australia, did this ranked choice voting kind of eliminate the duality, the yin and the yang of political parties? Because in our country, we are so divided that it's hard to get anything done in Alaska in the legislature. The divisions are so sharp. You're always having the parties butt up against each other rather than work with each other. So does ranked choice voting lead to better cooperation between parties? Now, what happened to the parties? I know you mentioned that the Republicans, or the more conservative party in Australia, flourished for a while and then it sort of switched. But are parties less significant?
Yeah, no. In some ways, it's kind of similar to Alaska. So, no, we still have, two main parties. It's a two-party system. But they are much closer together. So there's a lot more middle ground where they essentially there's bipartisanship. There's agreement. We still have a very what's called an adversarial political system. The candidates still yell at each other and say unkind things, but not to the same extent as has happened in the United States. To be honest, it's more centrist. That's why I said it was kind of boring, because you don't have the whole the entertainment value that you have in Alaska and some other parts of the United States. But it's probably better at just getting things done, because there's a lot more bipartisanship in the parliament. So they'll come together on a whole range of issues, the two main parties, and work, essentially together.
So what about?
And they're not as polarized.
What about how districts are carved up? In Alaska, we're going through that 10-year process of creating districts and what we call reapportioning the vote based on population. And typically, there's all kinds of shenanigans in that year to set up districts so that candidates from a certain party are suddenly or incumbents from a certain party are canceled out. And that's how they, you know, how one party will that's in charge at that particular time in history will maneuver. So how does ranked choice voting affect that? I mean, do you have reapportionment in Australia, something similar?
Well, yeah, we sure do. But I tell you, there is a big difference, Rhonda, and this is actually a big difference between the United States and most of the rest of the world, including Australia. We don't let the politicians do the reapportioning. And it's really only America that allows the elected politicians to draw the lines on the map, because, of course, then they're going to try and draw it to benefit themselves. In Australia, we have an independent commission that draws the lines based on population movements and geographical features, and the politicians don't get to do it. That independent redistricting model is starting to catch on in the United States as well, but that's separate to ranked choice voting. So that might be the next mountain to climb for reformists.
Well, in all fairness, you know, there are a mix of parties represented and different branches of government represented on that panel, but typically, you know, the party of the governor who is serving at that time has a bit of a house advantage in that. But before we go, I did want to ask you about how ranked choice voting affects the minority vote. And specifically in Alaska, our Alaska Native vote can be fairly strong. And if they are all unified, can sway elections given the small population. Because voter turnout in villages in rural Alaska tends to be pretty high, so if they all band together, they 500 votes can sway an Alaska election. So, what about in Australia? Do you see that with Indigenous peoples? What is their political clout?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. The guys I was just talking to who ran the reform campaign last year in Alaska told me that some of their highest support for change came from areas with large numbers of Indigenous voters, which was interesting because one of the critiques that's made of the system, and I have heard it made in Alaska and it's made in Australia too, is that this system disadvantages minorities because it's complex and it makes the ballot paper potentially confusing. And then, of course, the comeback to that is always like, well, what are you saying? I mean, if Australians can manage it, the Irish can manage it, there are all these people around the world can manage it, why Alaskans can't manage it? I don't think so. In Australia, it's part of the furniture so much that we don't even think about rankings. When I say to people, I'm going to America, looking at their electoral system, they don't have rankings. They don't have rankings? Oh, that's so unfair, So I think for minorities, the ability, again, to maybe be someone's second choice or third choice, even if they're not, the first choice, it can be helpful. There's a little bit of research from the Bay Area in California that suggests that minorities have done a bit better in terms of getting elected, and women have definitely done better since ranked choice voting came in. So I don't know if that will play out the same way in Alaska.
Well, I guess...
You tell me, Ron. You tell me.
I have learned not to make any predictions about anything because Alaskan voters can be surprising.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think it's just because it's a state that's so huge, so diverse, and the population is so scattered that, even polling is not really very effective here compared to other places because people are so scattered and so diverse. But I really want to thank you, Professor Benjamin Riley from the University of Western Australia, for joining us. And You can watch his lecture over Zoom this Friday night at 7, and you can find the full lineup of speakers in the Egan Lecture Series on the UAS website, uas.alaska.edu/Egan Lecture. And you do have to register, but it doesn't cost you anything. And also they post the videos of the lectures afterwards. So thank you so much. And before we go, any parting thoughts?
Oh, look, I would just say, you know, good luck. You don't get to use this system till next year, but a lot of people in the rest of America and people like me around the world are actually watching with great interest to see how this works out. So, you know, good luck with it. But, you know, it could be that Alaska becomes a bit of a standard bearer for others who are wanting to make this reform. We'll see.
Oh, Alaska, the guinea pig of the American political system. We're a work in progress. Thank you so much for joining us, Benjamin Riley.